All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, and we'll start out in Isaiah 35, please. The book of Isaiah and chapter 35. And we are looking at, if you remember, we are looking at the Shekinah connected to our Lord's second coming. And let me emphasize again that when we're speaking of the second coming, we're not talking about the rapture of the church. All right, that is not our Lord's second coming. The second coming is the actual literal physical return of the Lord Jesus to this earth. All right, he is going to come here again, second time, to this earth, and he will set foot down upon the Mount of Olives. He left from the Mount of Olives, and he will return to the Mount of Olives. And so that is at the end of the tribulation period. And you will have the rapture, then the tribulation period of 7 years of length, and then at the end of that tribulation period will be the Battle of Armageddon, and the Lord Jesus and all of us who come back with him, we will defeat the armies of the Antichrist, and then the Lord will step foot down on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. And from there, he will sit upon the throne of David and rule and reign for 1,000 years. All right, so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the return at the end of the tribulation period. And when the Lord Jesus promised that he would return, the disciples, I'm sure, just all of a sudden, when their eyes were opened, they understood so much of this Old Testament, which prophesied about the fact that Jesus would come a second time. All right? And now what you and I have to do when we read the Bible is we have to just stop and think for a little bit. You know, which part of all of that is the Lord Jesus referring to and the Holy Spirit referring to when he gives all these prophecies? And the more you get familiar with them and the more you read them, then it gets easier and easier to discern just exactly what day he is talking about. All right, we have, you remember that Paul used the word the day of the Lord. All right, the day of the Lord. And in the scripture, the day of the Lord can be any time from the rapture all the way to the end of the millennium. All right, all of that's the day of the Lord. And so the point is, God, the Lord, is not finished with this world yet. All right, we have all these prophecies about his first advent, and that they all happened and they all came true exactly as they were written. But there are three prophecies about the second coming of Christ to every one concerning the first coming of Christ. Now, so you can see where there gets some of it might get a little muddy for you, but if you just keep reading and keep learning your Bible, it'll all come clear to you over time. Now we're looking at the reasons why the Lord Jesus has to return, why he must return at his second coming. And what we stopped with last week was the fact that he has to come back because because of the ravenous disposition of the beast of the field, that has to be removed. You see, when God created the heaven and the earth, and when he put the animals on the planet, there was no curse upon the earth. There was no curse yet upon man. There was no curse yet upon the woman. And so when God created everything, there was not this wild nature that the animals were created with. We all understand and know that that wild animals fear man. They fear us. If they see us, unless you've hand fed them somewhere along the way, they'll run from you. We were down in West Virginia several years ago, and Karen and I, we were coming back from someplace, and so we stopped at Holly River State Park and rented one of the cabins for the night. And as we were sitting there by the fire that we built, I was sitting there eating a can of mixed nuts, and I don't know if I shook the can or what, but when I popped the top on those things, here come a deer. It's like like Pavlov's dog, he heard that sound and here he come, and that deer walked right up and stood in front of me, and I took some of those peanuts and put them in my hand and held them out, and he ate out of my hand. Now, that's a wild deer. And I thought, wow, how weird is this? And so I looked him square in the eye and I said, "Bud, you're supposed to be afraid of me." And he looked back and said, "No." No, just kidding. Just seeing if you're awake. And but he wasn't afraid of me, not at all. There was no fear. But normally, and you guys who hunt, you know that's true. If you are out in the woods and the deer comes along and he gets a whiff of you, or he spots you, if you move even a little bit, he's gone. All right, he's gone. And same way with everything else that is out in the woods. And so the point is, all of this happened because of Adam's sin. When he sinned, that changed even the animals that were on this planet. All right, now look at Isaiah 35, and let me show you what the Lord says is going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes back. Look, please, if you will, 35, and let's start at, let's say, verse 3. He says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense." In other words, he's going to, just to put it in a common vernacular, he's going to make some folks pay. All right? He's going to make some folks pay. Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about our Lord's return at his second coming, when he comes to do battle against the armies of the Antichrist. And so he said, he will come and save you. Then, watch this now. Then, all right, what's then? Well, that's after he comes, okay? Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. A hart is a deer, all right? Then shall the lame man leap as a harp, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons. All right. Now, we would probably feel a little bit better if I told you that that word dragons does not mean these fire-breathing dragons that, you know, all these movies are coming out with. No, it's like a lizard, all right? The lizards that hide out in the desert. And what he's saying there is that when the Lord comes back, the desert area where all these critters live is going to be changed from wilderness, from desert, into a place of grass and reeds and rushes. So, in other words, the habitation of dragons, the habitation of these lizards is going to change. All right? And so the whole point here and the whole thing that the Lord is saying through Isaiah is the fact that once that curse fell in the Garden of Eden, once that curse came because of Adam's sin, that we have felt that curse ever since. We have felt that curse ever since. It has never gone away. It has never gone away. And so clearly, the point that Isaiah is making here is clearly that the sicknesses and all of the diseases and all the things that we have felt as a curse upon sin, all of those are going to be gone. They will be gone. Now, here's a neat thing. Everybody says, well, is that meaning that I'm going to get rid of my glasses? Yes. Yes, but you get rid of your glasses when you go up over here at the rapture. See, these are these promises that are with the second coming. You and I are in heaven. We're in heaven. All this has already happened for us. The curse is gone from us. All right? Please understand that. And so, very clearly, Isaiah says that that sickness and infirmity will all one day be removed. So when we go into the millennial reign of Christ, there's not going to be any more need for hospitals or emergency rooms or for doctors. No need for any of them. You won't have to go visit anybody in the hospital. All right? Isn't that awesome? And so the whole point is that the Lord's coming back to undo what Adam did. All right? Adam brought the curse upon us, and with the curse came all this that we fight over and fuss over and have to deal with and wrestle with. All these things are all a result of the curse. All right? Turning 70. All a part of the curse, all right? And by the way, I was reading, where was it, yesterday morning, I think. And, three score and ten is all I'm promised. I'm on borrowed time now. By reason of strength, yeah. But that's something to think about, isn't it? Man. So anyway, it's all going to be turned over. Amen. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame man will leap like a hart, like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will be able to sing. Folks, if you remember reading in your Bible for the 2,000 years before the flood, in other words, from Adam to Noah, that was about a 2,000-year span. Okay, now if you remember that in that time men lived almost 1,000 years. All right, most of them, they lived almost 1,000 years. Methuselah was the oldest, but he didn't quite make 1,000, but he was way up there in the 900s, all right? And so the curse, though, when that happened, the curse started the process of death. But all the way back before the flood, God had placed this canopy over the earth, a vapor cloud over the earth. And that protected us from a man, from the hurtful rays of the sun. And so men did not have, like we have today, all these thousands of years, 6,000 years of disease, and all these viruses and all of these things that come out of the ground, and all these things that have come out of a petri dish over in China. Amen. All right, they didn't have all that stuff back then, and so they lived longer lives. Okay, and when the flood came, that vapor collapsed, and when that vapor collapsed, it was a part of what flooded the earth. It was a part. The fountains of the deep broke and the vapor fell. And that is what caused so much chaos upon this earth. And God judged man and then started over with eight people. And all of us, every single one of us sitting in this room, if it were possible, could trace your ancestry all the way back to either Noah or Ham or Shem or Japheth. Every one of us. All right? So that means we're all cousins. All right? We're all cousins. We're all related. And there's only one kind of a person on this earth, and that's human. All right? We are all human beings. Doesn't matter what color your hair is, or what color your skin is, or what kind of accent you have. All right? Everybody is from the same source. God created man. That's it. All right? So, now think about this now. So much of what happened to when that vapor cloud fell, the longevity of man went away. And you keep reading through the Bible, and you'll see that Abraham lived 100 and some years. And then you read Moses lived 100 and some years. And then the further you go, men started dying earlier. We are living in the generation, because of modern technology and modern science, we are living longer than our ancestors lived. All right, we're living longer. We have about 10, 12 years longer lives today than what our parents had. And so, of course, one reason they all died off is because they thought it was cool to smoke cigarettes. And you see what happened to that. All right? We all can give testimony to someone we know in our family who died because of cigarettes. But anyway, longevity of life, though, when the Lord comes back, is going to be the norm. All right? He's going to return us to longevity of life. When I say us, I mean man. Not you and me. We have eternal life. Okay? So you don't ever have to worry about dying during the millennium. It's not going to happen to you. If you're saved, death is not going to happen to you. All right? You may physically die because your body wears out, or disease. You may physically die, but if the Lord comes back and takes us out of here, you're going to get that new body, that new glorified body, and that body is going to be sinless. And you're going to live for all eternity with the Lord. That's a pretty good thought, isn't it? But I think it is. All right, look, turn over to Isaiah 65. Look at chapter 65. All right, Isaiah 65. And let's go down to verse 20. All right, verse 20. All right, everybody there? Yes. All right, look at it. Isaiah says, now he's talking about the millennium here now, and he says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. All right, so look at that. What's he saying? He's saying that things are going to change. All right, you're 100 years old, you're still going to be seen as an infant, as a child. In other words, you got a long life ahead of you. If you're 100 years old and you're viewed as a child, that's a pretty good indication that, you know, things have changed. You know, you see a 100-year-old person today, and you say, wow, that guy's old, or that lady's old. I mean, yeah, well, they're 100 years old, they're old. But when you get to the millennium, you're going to see all this is going to change. All of it's going to change. All right? So I think that is so neat. Look down, please, at verse 24. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Amen. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Now, they don't do that today. Only the wolf feeds. He feeds on the lamb. All right? But everything's going to change. That's what's going to happen when the Lord comes back at his return. And so he said, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. In other words, he's not going to be that ravenous, bloodthirst animal anymore. Okay? He's going to eat vegetables. He's going to eat the grass and like a cow. All right? And then notice this, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. Well, isn't that what it is now? Huh? It is, isn't it? So you know what that's showing us? That's showing us that there's still going to be serpents during the millennium. And they're still going to be cursed. The curse is going to be removed from everything, but evidently not from the serpent. I'm all for that. When they see us, you talk about being afraid, they're going to be afraid. All right? They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. So they're not going to be able to hurt like they do now. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of people who die every year from snake bites, from poisonous snakes, venomous snakes. Now, you think about that. Martha Pennington over here, she got tagged by a copperhead several years back. You weren't ever close to death, though, were you? She was? Yeah, you were. Wow. Well, I asked Dean how you were doing. He said, oh, she's good. That sounds about right, doesn't it? Those of you that remember Dean. What'd you say?
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart, yeah. 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 All right, you see the point, folks? All right, let me show you one more thing tonight before we go. Next, the next thing that why the Lord must come back, he must come back to put the earth back to one language. One language. Now you remember where the languages came into being? Tower of Babel. Yep. Tower of Babel. And the languages, all right, think about this now. The languages were forced upon the world. They were forced. Why? Sin. Rebellion. They said, we will. God said, no, you won't. And so he confounded the languages. Amazing, isn't it? Now, can I remind you that when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples in the upper room, all these languages were represented in the Jews that had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover and Pentecost. And amazingly, Peter stood up and preached in his native tongue. And everybody on the Temple Mount said, wow, this is amazing. How is it that we all hear every man in his own language? Now, we've studied that, and I've showed you that there were something like 19 different regions of the known world that were present and represented on that day at Pentecost. And here they come with all these different languages and dialects, and yet God used one man, one sermon, one gospel, and all of the confusion was gone when he preached that message. Now, take your Bible now and go over to the book of, Zephaniah. All right, Zephaniah. And let's look at the third chapter. All right, is everybody there? Zephaniah. It's on page 1091. If you have the same Bible I do. All right, everybody got it? I want you to see this. All right, chapter 3, you there? All right, look, please, at verse 9. Talking about the millennium, when Christ returns, and in verse 9, for then, in other words, when he returns, for then will I turn to the people a pure, what?
Language.
A pure language. That they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. So what's the promise there? The promise is that the Lord is going to reverse the scrambling of the languages across the earth to one. One language. One language. I think that's phenomenal, isn't it? You say, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, now you do. All right, it's right there. Zephaniah 3, verse 9. So mark it so you can show somebody and show, say, this is what the Lord's going to do when he returns. He's going to take all these languages from all over the world and we're going to get back to one language. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I hope it's Hebrew. And I hope I don't have to study to learn it. That's hard. Hebrew's hard. All right. So, why should the Lord reverse that happened at Babel? Well, I think this will be done so that there will be one pure language so all men might freely be able to call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one heart, with one desire, with one purpose. So the one and only hope of creation for release and for restoration is the return of the Lord Jesus at his second coming. He must come back, folks, or this scripture is void. So he must come back. Or this scripture doesn't count. And we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All right? So he has to come back. He must come back to fulfill the scriptures. All right, how we doing? Oh man, there's just so much here. So much in this thought. All right. Let me give you one more. I got 4 minutes, all right? Let me give you one more. His return, Jesus must return to vindicate his claim to be the Son of God and the Savior of all mankind. He must return to vindicate his claim to be the Son of God and the Savior of mankind. Amen. Folks, if you'll remember, that's why they crucified him. That's why they nailed him to the cross after they beat him nearly to death. And while here on the earth, the first time, the Lord Jesus openly and repeatedly claimed to be the Son of God and the Savior of mankind. And he validated that claim by many signs and wonders in the sight of all the people. He healed people of diseases. He restored crippled limbs. He cured blindness and deafness, even cured incurable leprosy. On three occasions, it's recorded that he raised people up who were dead. Amen. All right, let's see Benny Hinn do that. They had died. People knew that they were dead. Folks around them were getting ready to put them in the ground. But Jesus stopped and brought them back to life. Pretty cool. And even in spite of that, the world would not accept his claim and even crucified him for making that claim. He then made the ultimate proof to rest upon his coming again. All right? Go on over for a moment to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. All right, so the world would not accept his claim. They crucified him for making the claim. And just before he was taken to the cross, he made the ultimate proof of his and validation of him being the Son of God and the Savior of the world. He made it rest upon his second coming. Now look at chapter 24 and verse 30. Verse 30. All right, the Bible says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So in other words, and don't forget, oh man, this just popped into my head. Let me go over and make sure I got the right verse. Yes. Hold your place here for just a sec. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Go to Revelation 1. Hurry, hurry. I'm out of time. We got to go. Look at verse 6. And hath made us, chapter 1, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now watch verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which, what? Pierced him. And why did they pierce him? Because he claimed to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And so when he comes again, even those who pierced him, who will be in hell, and they have been for 2,000 years now, even those folks are going to see him, and they're going to know that he is who he said he was. And they're going to believe. Now, it'll be too late. I'll guarantee you, if you were to go down there right now, grab each one of them by the nape of the neck and say, do you believe now? Yes, sir. Let me out of here. No, sorry, I can't do that. No. All right, you see the point? That's cool, isn't it? Coming, it said, go back to verse 30 of 24. It says, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. That's his return. That's his second coming with power and great glory. Hallelujah. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Bible. Thank you for what we can glean from your word. And Father, I pray you'll bless this greatly to our hearts. Help us to go home and read and reread these verses and understand that all that transpired because of Adam's sin is now going to be reversed because of the second coming of the Son of Man, the Son of God, and the Savior of the world. Father, thank you so much for all these wonderful promises that are here for us. So I pray you'll bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.